Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We're very glad that you took time out of your schedule to worship our Lord with us. And speaking of such, we have a brother Richard sitting right back here in the back from Nashville, and he is staying right down the street. He got an Uber here, and I said, no Ubers. Ubers are allowed to get here, but no Ubers after. If somebody would like to take him right down Las Vegas Boulevard, he would appreciate a ride, and we will be able to extend our light for him. So if you're able to do that, just see Richard right back there. Got a couple of prayer requests real quick. Both Van and Celia are going to be going out of town here soon, and they pray for safe travels on their journey. And also, the Baskervilles and the Jacksons are going to be traveling together, going out of town, and they ask prayers for their safety also. Let's bow in prayer to God as we pray for these families. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for the blessings that you give us, the wonderful lives that you've given us while we're here on earth. We ask that you be with these families as they travel. Please keep them safe, and please bring them back to us safely. Dear God, as in all of our prayers, we always want your will to be done, and we ask for the strength that we always yield to your will. Dear God, thank you again for everything you do for us, and we pray through your Son Jesus. Amen. A couple of announcements real quick. Want to thank Kurt for the wonderful songs that he sang today. They all go with the lesson that we will get in just a moment. And also thank him for kind of spearheading after our flooded auditorium and so forth. It's still not quite done. The painters are starting to come in tomorrow, but I thank everybody that has helped. Kurt has kind of spearheaded this work and so forth, and we appreciate it. Also, if you are able to teach, we are desperately in need of teachers for the little kids' classes. And if you're able to do that, would like to coordinate maybe with others, go ahead and see Sean for that, and we can get that coordinated. We've had some of the people that have taught recently are moving away, going to different congregations and so forth, and we need that. Also, we are organizing, Stacy's organizing a card shower for Sister Raven. Her health has prevented her from being able to come lately, and figured that might cheer her up. So if you'd like to write a card or make a card or whatever, bring those to Stacy within the next 2 weeks, and she will get those sent out. Also, there is a stack of tickets to the professional Las Vegas soccer team that are in the foyer there, and if you and your family like soccer or would like to get together with a couple of other Christian families, that would be a nice little outing, eat some hot dogs and so forth. But they're sitting out there in the foyer, compliments of somebody, I don't know who brought them, but anyway let's go ahead and get into our lesson. The lesson is titled How Long, Lord? And if you think back to the songs that Kurt led us in today, a lot of those are dealing with the trials, the tribulations that we as Christians face sometimes. And I don't know if you're like me, I trust God, but I ask that question sometimes, how long? I know I've got to wait, but God, give me a little timetable here. You know, how long do I need to wait? And that's not an unusual thing for Christians and people that follow God to ask. We face a lot of stress in our lives. If this lesson today, it might be directed right at you for something that you're going through right now. Or you might hear this lesson and look back at a time in your life. Things may be going great now, but there may have been a time in your life that you wonder, how am I going to get through this? If you've never been through something like that, see me after the lesson, because I'd like to shake your hand. If you've never been through something that you've wondered, is this the end of the world as I know it? If you haven't, there's a good chance you will someday face some disaster, some stressful situation. You know, a lot of people face health issues. They get just smacked right in the face when the doctor gives them news of something health-related. The death of loved ones. I look around and I know many of us have lost loved ones, whether it be family members, dear friends. And that brings a lot of stress. Economic setbacks, loss of a job, a turn of economic situations, the car breakdown. And you look in your pocket and the only thing there's in there is a hole. And you're wondering, how am I going to get the car fixed? Family problems. I tell you, I personally, and probably you too, I will just speak for myself, I would rather face things myself than see my loved ones go through bad situations. You feel so helpless. You would take it upon yourself rather than them face those things. Just dealing with life in this world. We're here temporarily. Sometimes it can seem like an eternity, though. Problems with a person that you've got to face every day at work. A neighbor that every time you see him, it's an issue. A relationship that has gone awry. Maybe a really close relationship. We all have faced things like that. And we sometimes ask, how long, Lord, do we have to wait to get through this? In Psalm 94, starting in verse 1, it says, O Lord God, and somebody forgot the ladder. It just dawned on me. Bring ladder, big ladder fixed for Jeff.
I just saw it.
It just dawned on me. Not pointing fingers. Not going to mention any names. We were going to fix it. The projector back there is skewed a little bit. And so you're only going to get half the verses. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs. O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? Don't you just look, talking about things of this world, don't you look around and you see people that are just pure evil? They seem to triumph and get away with everything. And this is wrong on my part, because we're not supposed to, as Christians, I sometimes want to be the judge, jury, and executioner. I want to be there and witness when they get their comeuppance. But we're not supposed to have that attitude. We're not supposed to relish in and revel in the idea when they get theirs. But this psalm, how long, Lord? How long will the wicked triumph? How long will you restrain your vengeance from the punishment? He goes on to say, they utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. You just wonder, how long will God wait until he exacts vengeance? I've asked the question, how long did he wait for me? How long did he wait for me to change?
Amen.
And to see the error of my ways and be baptized and serve him instead of myself? God has given us examples of people that probably asked those same questions. How long, Lord? How long did Job have to wait? He lost all of his possessions. All. He lost his family. He was afflicted with boils all over his body. His health was ruined. And not only his health, it was painful. It hurt. Wonder if Job ever asked himself, how long, Lord? What did I do? Wonder about the Israelites. 400 years in Egypt, in bondage, as slaves. We're God's people, but we're in this circumstance. How long do we have to wait here in this? And then when they got out of Egypt, when Moses led them out of Egypt, they spent 40 years wandering around in the desert, living in tents. I love camping. I don't want to live 40 years in a tent. How long, Lord? How long do I have to endure this? As long as it takes. The father of the prodigal son. The son got his inheritance. You know the story. Went off, spent it foolishly. Wasn't a day that went by that father didn't look down that road hoping he would return. I bet that father asked, how long do I have to wait, Lord? How long do I have to wait to see my son again? As long as it takes. That's how long. Waiting for the Messiah. Look at how long God's people waited. That was, waiting for the Messiah is half the Bible.
Amen.
The other half is, he's here.
Amen.
Their wait was worth it. In John 1, John the Baptist, it says, the next day John, talking about John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I don't know if I fully understand the importance of that verse.
Mm-hmm.
They have been waiting since the beginning of time It was part of God's plan for the Savior to come. And now John is explaining to them and proclaiming, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The people heard it. And in John, just a few chapters or verses later, Andrew says he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated to Christ. They were so excited. They had been waiting their whole life for the Messiah. They'd heard that he's coming. And now he's here. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." They couldn't contain themselves. "Nathanael, we have found him." They'd been looking, they'd been waiting. How long, O Lord, do we need to wait? John the Baptist preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is within reach. It's here. It's not, it's right around the corner. It's not way in the future. It's right here. And what do you do because of it? You repent. You get ready. Because what we've been waiting for is coming about. In John 19, on the cross, verse 28, Jesus, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished," the things from the beginning of time, the plan that was put into existence from the beginning were now accomplished, "that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished." How long, Lord? It's finished. That waiting is done. The Savior that God had sent, that the prophets proclaimed was coming, that the New Testament says he's here, it's finished. Paul said to the Romans in Romans 5:6, "For when we were still without strength," I think the New American Standard Version says, "while we were still helpless, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." How long, Lord? Now it's our turn. We've seen many people before us wait. We may be in the smack dab middle of something that we're crying out, "How long, Lord?" Isaiah 40, verse 31, Frank read that earlier today, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those are encouraging words. That the efforts that we put forth in this life, they will come about for God. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season," at the right time, in God's time, maybe not our time, in due season, when it's right for God, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's the reward. If we don't lose heart, we will reap in due season. The Apostle Peter wrote, therefore, and the words are important, but when I read who wrote the words, the Apostle Peter, it means a little extra twist there. Therefore, humble yourselves. The Apostle Peter will grow and mature enough to be able to write that. There was a period in his life he didn't really know what humility was, but he will mature. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you when? In due time, God's time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Even shows us the out. Cast all your care on him. Let your request be made known to God. Give it to him, because he does care for you. John 21, this is at the tail end of the Gospel of John. And Jesus had been explaining to Peter, you know, Peter, later on in life, people are going to lead you places you don't want to go. You're going to be crucified, and there's not going to be a lot you can do about it. He's explaining to him about his later life and his death. And he looks at John, the Apostle John, in verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What's going to happen to him? You just explained about what's going to happen to me. What about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about what others may or may not be going through in relationship to you. Care for people, but don't say, well, why aren't they having to go through this? Well, why does it always seem to be me? You follow me. That's all. You got enough to do worrying about you, Peter. You follow me. 1 Corinthians, Paul, toward the tail end of his letter to them, he tells them in chapter 15, verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work, that time that you put in, it pays off. It pays off 99% of the time in this life. The things we do, whether it be at work, in our family, for ourselves, the work we do pays off. You're investing in eternity, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And at the end of his life, one thing I love about the Apostle Paul, he's pretty strict. But he doesn't require and command as an apostle us to do anything that he himself isn't willing and did do. I never really cared for those people, do as I say, not as I do. Paul, like Jesus, never told us to do anything that they weren't willing to do. We can never say to Jesus, oh, Jesus, you just don't know what I'm going through. Oh, really? Didn't realize that. You just don't know. When Paul was awaiting his death in prison in Rome, he would write to his beloved Timothy, and this is one of the last, or this letter is the last known recorded message that he would write. And toward the end, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. He is so confident of it. And he goes on to say, and not to me only, but also to all those, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. It's not just reserved for him. We're all going to reap the benefit. How long, Lord? Like the father of the prodigal son, as long as it takes. Like God waiting for us, as long as it takes. The good thing about it is we've got prayer, we've got his word, and we've got each other to get us through that time. And in the words of Rosie the Riveter, remember Rosie the Riveter, Nana? During World War II, we can do it. We can do it. If you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, if you haven't put your Lord on in baptism yet, God is asking, how long? How long does he have to wait for you to be saved? If there's anything we can do for you through prayer, if you need to repent, God's asking, how long? How long does he have to wait for you to repent? If we can be of any service to you, please come forward, let your needs be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.